Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Very pleased to have back with us probably one of the more sensible people when it comes to talking politics. Because he's trying to find a new way to do it and do it better. Jim Rex, of course, who is now very involved, continues to be involved, heavily involved with the Alliance Party, formerly known as the American Party SC. Formerly after that, it was something else. What was it before we got to the Alliance Party?
There was only two.
There was only two? Okay. So how you doing, Dr. Rex? Good to see you.
Doing pretty well. I appreciate that introduction. One of the more rational people for politics. That's like saying I'm tall among a group of midgets. But I appreciate it.
Well, we need to take just a minute or two to give a brief background on. I don't want to go back through the long story of you and Oscar Loveless and how what you did to create American Party SC. You did it, and then you realize, I guess, a couple of years thereafter that we would be better if we joined with the Alliance Party because they were doing the same type of thing across the country. And so now, how big are you, the Alliance Party?
Well, it depends on the cycle where we are. When the last presidential cycle, we had a presidential candidate, Rocky De La Fuente, and we had 27 states involved in that election in terms of him being on the ballot. Right now, we're at about 7 and still adding for the 2024. So we may be up to a dozen states this time around.
A dozen states.
Yeah.
All right. So those states would include South Carolina?
Oh, yes, definitely. South Carolina is what we call a protocol state. It's kind of the model for the other states that come into the alliance. Minnesota is another protocol state, very well organized, long history.
Okay.
It used to be the Independence Party. You remember Jesse Ventura?
Oh, yeah.
The wrestler who was governor. Yeah. He was our candidate. So and Ross Perot way back when. So we've got some parties that have merged with us to create the Alliance Party that have a long history of, independent and third-party candidacies.
Okay. So here we are. you're very kind, and you don't say, I told you so. But you did tell me so. We're here today, and we're just about as mixed up politically as a country as I think I can't say ever because I haven't been around forever, but in modern times. I mean, this is crazy when you think that all the national polls done on the Democratic side and the Republican side, 70%, 75% of those polls said we don't want the incumbent, Mr. Biden, and we don't want the other guy, Mr. Trump. We don't want either one of them. And what did America give them? The same two guys.
Well, you're right. Here we are again. Lesser of two evils, but this time, which one is the less? Which one is older? Which one is more corrupt? Which one is less or more suspect? 340 million eligible voters, eligible candidates in this country, and the two parties keep giving us very, very poor choices. We've got a system that doesn't work, and it is increasingly dysfunctional. And we've got some good people, thank God, who still offer themselves for public service. We need more, but we have some. But I learned a long time ago that when you have a good person with good motives up against a bad system, bet on the system every time.
Jeez, isn't that encouraging?
Well, it's reality. Good people come and go. They get tired. They get worn out, they get corrupted. Systems persevere. And we have a system that perseveres in spite of the fact that most Americans want better than we have now. Most Americans, I think, understand at some level that our democracy is not working the way it could and should. That's why the polls show that now there are more of us who identify ourselves as independent than as Republican or Democrat.
Right.
So it's not just that we have 70% that don't like these two presidential candidates.
Right.
If asked, you have at least that percentage that don't like the two-party system. But it's sort of like being a vegetarian, and then you go to a restaurant that only serves hot dogs and hamburgers. And that's about what's happening. A lot of Americans want to vote for someone, not against someone, which is what we end up doing most of the time now. We're frightened by one side telling us how terrible the other side is, or one candidate telling us the world's going to end if so-and-so is elected. So people vote out of fear, not optimism anymore.
Well, you went into a long dissertation the last time we were together about this system we have in America and how it is really stacked against ever a successful third party at movement coming along. But with that being said, we are so tightly, we only have like 1 and 2 vote margins in the House, and the Senate's not a whole lot bigger. And yet, if you could get 1 or 2 non-Republicans, non-Democrats in there, you might be able to change the whole paradigm, correct?
What a wonderful lead-in. Thank you, my friend. We had our convention, the South Carolina Alliance Party did a few weeks ago, our state convention. We have 5 candidates who will be on the ballot in November. 2 of them are running for the United States House of Representatives. One is running in the upstate not against anybody. He's running for the seat where Jeff Duncan used to be.
Okay.
Jeff Duncan vacated it. But it's a heavily Republican district. The other one is running against Jim Clyburn in the Lowcountry. So we said from the beginning that, we're not for one party or the other. We're against the duopoly. And this is a good example.
Sure.
2 candidates, one running in a Republican seat, one running in a Democrat. But more importantly, even than that, they're running as a part of a national effort to put together a group of candidates for the U.S. House that, if elected in November, will take office in January and will be nonpartisan. There will be a separate independent caucus, if you will, in the U.S. House. We're hoping 6 or 8. And the phrase we use is 6 or 8 can change the fate of the
sure.
of the House and of the country in January. Because a small group will be able to deny a majority or grant a majority to any reasonable group of legislators who put forth reasonable legislation that is not partisan, that's really focused on what's best for the country, not what is politically opportunistic for their party. And that's what we're after. It's called the Fulcrum Caucus. And Fulcrum, talks about the seesaw, that middle spot that can keep it balanced and not teetered one way or the other.
So the Alliance Party across the country in 12 states, you got enough candidates that if they could get some traction, you might be able to actually do what we're talking about.
Well, it's not just our candidates. We're also going to endorse candidates who sign an agreement, and we have a candidate agreement, if you remember that.
Sure.
We're the only party that does that. If they'll sign the Alliance Candidate Agreement, which requires transparency and truthfulness and civility and IRS forms on their campaign website, if they'll do that, they'll be a part of the caucus, even though they may not be one of our candidates, but they'll be endorsed by our party for this initiative.
Hmm. So are there any
oh, yeah.
are there any Republicans or Democrats that would fit this bill?
So far, I can't tell you that is true yet.
Well, I guess you're going to say that.
But we will have Minnesota, which is one of our protocol states, which I mentioned a minute ago. They'll have their convention this month, and they'll hopefully have a couple of candidates who will be Alliance candidates. We're talking to 3 U.S. House candidates in Colorado who are independent candidates for the United States House. I think they will definitely be on this as part of this initiative. So it'll be a combination of Alliance candidates independent candidates and perhaps some other party candidates. We'll have to see how that plays out.
So we've got people who are interested, which I think is good.
Right.
The big thing has, this is the other corrupting part of our system, is money. You got to have money to do the radio and the television and all that kind of stuff. So do any of these candidates, are they in a position where they have the resources to pull this off?
I think so. There's a couple that do. There are also some donors. You know, most of the deep-pocketed donors, this is just one of the realities of the system that doesn't work very well, tend to give to either the Republican or Democratic parties, or in many cases, both. They play both sides.
Sure.
Corporations give money to both, and many wealthy donors give money to both. Because the system, even though, as we said, it's broken in many ways, it works well for them because they know how to use it. So it protects their special interests. There are some donors out there that I think will write checks to this effort because it can bring about change at a level that one candidate winning an election can't. So no matter who you want to see as our next president, this is a way to make government start to function as early as January of 2025 if you write a check for this effort or you become one of these candidates.
You know, you would think with this kind of logic that if you were to sit down with Price Brothers, who have all that big money that they throw behind, I mean, they threw a whole bunch behind Nikki Haley, which is good. But you would think if they really wanted to see some change, that they might take a look at an Alliance Party candidate or an independent candidate who took the pledge and get behind them.
They may. I'm not sure, as I said a minute ago, that all of our large donors want to see a change. This is a system that has worked well for them. They understand it. It's predictable. Most of the time, it will have gridlock. Excuse me, gridlock and stalemate, and some people benefit from that.
My, what a wonderful system we have. We have some, you know, we've got some incredibly difficult issues right now. One that worries me the most is just our solvency, whether anybody's going to pay any attention to $34 trillion in debt. And I don't care if it's a Republican or Democrat, they spend like drunken sailors. It's just amazing.
Well, they have to spend money, especially related to their districts and or their base, in order to get reelected. And you and I have talked about this before. The top priority to a career politician is?
Get reelected. Yeah. End of discussion. All right. So do you have some encouraging news here for me today?
Yeah. I think the encouraging news is that the majority of Americans are now saying they're neither Republican nor Democrat.
Really?
Yes. It's almost a dead tie. About 38% of us, when asked to self-identify, say we're either Republican or Democrat.
Okay.
The remaining, which is the majority, much bigger than the other two, say they're neither. They're either independent or non-affiliated. So I think more and more Americans, now unfortunately, some of those people want to change the system that are discontent. Unfortunately, some just want to drop out and give up and not vote. Apathy.
Yeah.
They think it's a waste of time. The right. system is not going to respond to their vote, so why cast it? That is deadly. I mean, people, you know, the forces that manipulate the system now, they don't care whether they win by a million votes
or
10
vote.
Votes,
sure.
Or one vote, right. Yeah. So if a bunch of us stop voting, stop caring, that's fine for that group.
So that's what happens when you get fat, dumb, and happy.
Yes.
All right. So as I said to you
before, even fat, dumb, and sad in this case.
Yeah, fat, dumb, and sad. But you look at what people every day just don't pick up on, what's going on in their community. They're non-involved, have no idea what the city council is doing or the county council is doing. Lord knows the state is doing, and the federal government. So, they and then they'll sit back and, you know, complain. Well, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Well, because you didn't raise your voice and ask a question or go to the polls and pull a lever.
Well, it's hard. I mean, there's a lot going on, and people's lives are busy, and there's a lot of
buy all that.
Well, let me give you one. No, I'm not trying to make excuses because it's a precious gift. Really,
it is.
They live in this democracy. When you look around the world, And you know, we have to take care of it. We have to be stewards of it and vote and be educated and know what we're voting on. But one of the problems, I think, Manning, is I used to talk to university students who are just getting into their voting age about the misconception that you have two obligations. One is to vote, and the second one is to fill out the ballot. The first one is correct. The second one is not. You don't have to vote for everything on that ballot.
That's right.
Vote for the things you know about and you care about. But don't go down and vote straight party ticket or go eeny, meeny, miny and, you know, just pick it or vote for somebody because you know their name. Because what you're doing when you do that is you are canceling out the vote of someone who has researched that and has cast an educated, informed vote. You're casting a vote that cancels that vote out when you just fill out the ballot.
Very good point.
So, and when I would talk to students about it, you know, there would be faculty in the room, and I could tell just from their nonverbal, they hadn't thought about that either. They really thought that it was sort of a mandatory completion contest or test that I have to fill it all out. No, you don't. Vote for those things you know about, care about. Leave the others blank for other informed voters to make that decision.
You know, probably the best example of what you just talked about is the chaos that's going on now on college campuses across the country. You come from the world of academia. You know all about how the universities and colleges work. I'm just amazed that when you see the polls that show 80% of America supports what's going on in Israel. They support the Israelis. And yet you have all these students who are out there on their mom and dad's tuition, wasting the money, creating this chaos, supporting Hamas, the Palestinians. I mean, it's just crazy. And it goes right back to what we talked about. They don't know what the heck is going on, and the teachers aren't teaching them that.
Well, you know, I'm old enough, I remember Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, so do I.
I remember the campuses back
then.
Oh, yeah. And there's some analogies, but it's very different. Back then, there was a lot of division in this country over that one issue.
Yep.
Today, it's not a one issue. There's the good side and the bad side. There's the enemy based upon the other party. And, I mean, it goes beyond that. In fact, there's polls now that show Americans are saying they don't even want their son or daughter to marry somebody from the other political party. It's become like the Protestants or the Catholics back in Ireland.
You know,
it's gotten that bad. So it's different. Once again, probably the toughest job in America is to be a university or college administrator. That's the last time I could have said that was during Vietnam.
Wow.
Because on one side, they're trying to teach students to be critical thinkers, to think on their own, mm-hmm. to get information.
That's right.
So not be led by the nose.
All right.
And so free speech and free thought is very important on most university campuses.
True.
So the idea of shutting down that First Amendment right is the anathema to what most universities are trying to do.
Nobody has a problem with that.
It's But the violence, the protest, the illegality of it ought to be shut down.
And finally, the President of the United States took to the airwaves this morning and talked about that.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he made actual sense. He did.
Good.
All right. All right, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you're listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and of course by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Here at Substation 2, 6 days a week, we do magic here with fresh subs and salads. The magic is in those white letters, and the good doctor and I are going to tell everybody out there who hasn't been here what it's all about. One, two, three, slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place. Enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Dr. Kerry Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Relax with a discounted mortgage rate from Founders Federal Credit Union without paying for discount points. For a limited time, don't pay the 1% fee and get the lower rate. And don't forget, Founders never charges for PMI or private mortgage insurance. Unlock your dream home with a great rate and a Founders expert to guide you through the home financing process. Stop by a convenient office location or apply on Founders online by May 31st to lock in your lower rate. Visit foundersfcu.com/mortgage to learn more. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Equal housing lender.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Jim Rex is with us today from the Alliance Party. By the way, if you don't know who Jim Rex is, go online and Google him because he's got quite a background. He was over here at Winthrop University. He was a head of the Department of Education?
He was the Dean of Education.
He was the Secretary of Education for the great state of South Carolina, and he's done a lot of other things. Neat guy. Okay. So here we are. You fielded some candidates for the Alliance Party, and we need to learn a little bit about those. So if you could snuggle up to this microphone and tell us a little bit about them. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. You can go online and look at SouthCarolinaAllianceParty.com, and all of the candidates are profiled on there, their photographs, what district they're running for, and they're all impressive, if I do say so myself. It runs the gamut. We have two candidates for the U.S. House. We have a candidate for the South Carolina Senate. We have a candidate for the South Carolina House. And we have a candidate for sheriff in Marlboro County.
I'll be doggone.
And I don't know if you've ever followed sheriffs, but that's a real important office in most places.
We got five of them running here
in
the GOP primary.
It's extremely important in terms of justice and law enforcement and fairness. And it's also a highly corruptible law office.
As we've seen down in Chester County.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in Marlboro County, the same thing. The former sheriff is indicted. This guy is clean as a whistle. He's a great candidate.
Good.
His name is James Pauling. We have two people running for the U.S. House, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. Joe Otto, who is running in District 6, which is down near Charleston. It's a strange-looking district, like most gerrymandered districts. Looks like some kind of a creature from the Black Lagoon.
Right.
No pun intended in this case. He's running against an incumbent named James Clyburn.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, James is very well-respected and a very, 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 I'd say at least four berries, powerful Democratic leader.
Well, and if you put a little muscle on that, you would say that he was the single-handedly saved Joe Biden's presidential effort back in the year 2000. Biden was in the tank. He came to South Carolina, huddled with Clyburn. Clyburn stood up and endorsed him, and boom, there we go.
Yeah, that's no overstatement. So Joe is running against James Clyburn. Mike Biedenbaugh is the other candidate for U.S. House, and Mike is running in the upstate. In fact, some of that district may be part of your listenership, Manny. He's running for the 3rd District of South Carolina, and that is a vacated seat. Jeff Duncan, Republican, left that seat for a variety of reasons. and Mike is running for that seat. And both of these gentlemen are trying to be a part of this Fulcrum caucus that we talked about earlier in your show. Mike has a long history of working for the state. He headed up the Preservation Society for the state, saved a lot of properties and buildings all over South Carolina. He's well known. His motto is place, purpose, and preservation.
When you have a vacated seat like that, does it give you more hope and more optimism than if you were running against an incumbent?
It usually helps. It usually helps, although these gerrymandered districts, and both of them are great examples of that. Mike's running in a heavily Republican gerrymandered district, and Joe is running in a heavily gerrymandered Democratic district.
Okay.
And so they still have their work cut out for them.
Yep.
Sarah Work is running for the South Carolina Senate, and most of her district is in Rock Hill. And
really?
If your voters have been voting, your listeners have been voting, they've seen Sarah's name before. She's run twice for South Carolina, let me get it straight, South Carolina Treasurer.
Okay.
And the last race for that office, she got over a quarter of a million votes.
No kidding.
And if people have been following our Comptroller General and our state treasurer.
Where's that $1.8 billion?
Yeah, just a billion here and a billion there. We can't account
Pretty
for
Pretty soon you have real money.
But those two offices, just an aside, those two offices, Comptroller General and state treasurer, are elected and reelected over and over and over again. Both of these gentlemen who are incumbents or were incumbents are examples of that, simply because of straight party voting.
Sure.
Most voters don't know what the Comptroller General does and don't care. Most don't know what the treasurer does and don't care, but they keep voting them into office. And now we've got billions of dollars worth of mistakes. There's at least two
billion
at stake. So
money we may have to give back.
That's we don't know where it's who owns it,
where we got it from.
Yeah. We also have running for the South Carolina House, Jackie Todd, and Jackie is running in the upstate, and I'm trying to remember her district number, but it's up in the Spartanburg area. And if you look at our site.
South Carolina's AllianceParty.com.
Yes.
You'll find all the information.
Oh, it's House District 8. House District 8 is Jackie's.
Right. Okay.
So those are our five candidates, all the way from the U.S. House down to Sheriff. Three men, two women, three whites, two blacks. They're all outstanding people, and I hope if you see them on your ballot, you'll give them every consideration.
Well, and I hope the media in these various districts will give them that attention. You don't have any local candidates here, do you, for
like town.
Your county?
No, not this time around.
Not this time around. Okay.
Hopefully in 2 years. I think a lot of those offices will be up again
next
in
year.
2 years.
Yeah.
This year. And
2 years. Yeah, exactly. Well, Jim, we've run out of time. You've done an excellent job as usual. We want to tell everybody SouthCarolinaAllianceParty.com. SouthCarolinaAllianceParty.com. If you want to have some change in what this madness is that's going on right now, you need to search for an alternative. That's the bottom line. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. A busy day as always. And, of course, they're open 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. Fresh subs and salads is their specialty. And Dr. Rex, you're going to join me in telling everybody how they do it here and why people keep coming back day after day after day at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice,
slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.